3 and Kobe tied. Dialed down a little bit. Couldn't quite. I love blue jeans and all. Just say not quite to go that far. At least I could become a little less formal as we move along here. Like many stories from the life of Woody Guthrie, this one may be more apocryphal than historical. But it goes, when one of his children had to be hospitalized in New York, the person handling the admission form asked Woody his and his family's religious affiliation. His reply was, all of them. Whether or not that story is true, it points to a larger truth about the life of Woody Guthrie. While he is primarily known and remembered and rightly celebrated as an amazingly prolific songwriter, troubadour, and a major figure in the American labor movement of the 1930s and the 40s, he also had a deep sense of identification with both the American landscape and the working people who lived across it. And there was yet still another dimension to his amazingly multi-dimensional life that doesn't generally get as much play as his more popularly known aspect of his life. And that's the side that we, Kathy, Dan, and Harry, our in-house version of Peter, Paul, and Mary, along with John and Billy and Jen, as we go along, that's what we want to hold up for you this morning. Woody Guthrie was a person with a deep spiritual and religious consciousness that transcended the bounds of any one religious faith. He was a true universalist. He took his universalism seriously and joyfully. He was raised in the bedrock of Protestant Christianity of Midwest Oklahoma, America, of the 1920s. And yet some of his closer relatives were Jewish. Indeed, among many children's songs he would later come to write were ones to be sung by children for Hanukkah. Several years ago, Kathy, Dan, and Harry and I offered a retrospective on Woody Guthrie's life using some of his better-known songs. Since then, we've done 2 repeats of that program at a couple of the Lowell Celebrates Kerouac festivals down in Lowell. And on those occasions, I arranged my narrative a little bit to point to a number of parallels between the life of Woody Guthrie and Jack Kerouac. Each of these men had his personal flaws and failings, and yet each of them also had a deep love for the land of America, a deep love for its common people, and each felt a deep and abiding spiritual connection to both. It is for this reason that these two, Kerouac and Guthrie, are my primary American heroes. And so today we present the spirit of Woody Guthrie. Before launching in, however, I'll offer a very brief overview of the man's life. He was born Woodrow Wilson Guthrie to a family, as you can imagine, of staunch Democrats in Oklahoma in 1912. His family was of reasonable means, but they fell upon hard times. Woody Guthrie had a wanderlust spirit about him at a very early age that put him on the road, the onset of the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl. He traveled incessantly, west coast to east coast, back and forth, many points in between, and he wrote songs incessantly as well. Most of them were about the land and its people who were struggling desperately for their lives and their livelihoods. He had too much of a freewheeling mind about him to adapt to any one specific or hard and fast political ideology, but as noted, he was a major figure in the American labor movement of the 1930s. In response to allegations of his Communist Party affiliation, he once said, "I ain't a communist necessarily, but I'm always in the red." His musical career knew great success at times and hit rock bottom at others, as did his personal life, including 3 marriages. Among his closest musical contemporaries were Pete Seeger, Ramblin' Jack Elliott, and Huddy Ledbetter, also better known as Led Belly. His best-known protege, I would have to say, is Bob Dylan, of course, as well as his son, Arlo. When Woody reached his late 40s, his life descended into an increasingly irrational, out of control, sometimes abusive behavior. It was all a tragic indication of the onset of a degenerative disease of the nervous system and mind called Huntington's chorea, also now known as Woody Guthrie's disease. He died in 1967 at the age of 55. His mother had died from the same affliction. Huntington's can only be passed from parent to offspring. His widow, Marjorie, founded an organization to combat Huntington's that has now become the Huntington's Disease Society of America, which continues its work to this day to find a cure for this very crippling malady. Woody rarely attended church. And as you'll notice in some of the songs you'll be hearing, he didn't have too many good things to say about preachers either. his autobiography, Bound for Glory, he wrote, "I seldom worship in and around churches, but I always had a deep love for the people who go there." He also had a very strong attachment to and fascination with the person of Jesus of Nazareth, probably drawing upon Bible stories he had learned while, heard about growing up in Oklahoma. In the figure of Jesus, Woody probably projected some of himself onto that figure. Woody saw someone who traveled the land of his day, relating to ordinary people who were just beaten down by life. And he connected his feelings with the plight of the working people with Jesus, also a wanderer and a troubadour. Someone he saw as a working class hero who got himself killed for standing up for common men and women. This is how he describes the way he came to write the song Jesus Christ. "I was looking out a rooming house window in New York City in the winter of 1940. I saw how the poor folks lived, and then I saw how the rich folks lived, and the poor folks down and out and hungry, and the rich ones drinking whiskey and wasting handfuls of money. And I got to thinking about what Jesus said, and what if he was to walk into New York City and preach like he used to? They lock him in jail. Sure as you read this." He borrowed a popular tune called The Ballad of Jesse James, and he kind of transposed Jesse James to Jesus Christ and got this song.
Jesus Christ.